Great job with the music, guys. Okay, after doing this for a couple of years and then having listened to Jim do his, I feel a little inadequate. He's kind of like, you just want to get a blanket and go crawl up and listen to the story. So I'm not quite that animated. Anyway, our reading this morning is Hebrews 13, chapters 15 through 19. Through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is, the fruit of of lips that give thanks to his name. And do not neglect doing good and sharing, for that with such sacrifices God is pleased. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Let them do this with joy, not with grief, for this would be unprofitable for you. Pray for us, for we are sure that we have a good conscience, desiring to conduct ourselves honorably in all things. And I urge you all the more to do this, so that I may be restored to you the sooner. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just are so grateful to have this opportunity to gather together and have a place to worship you. And Lord, we just ask that everybody soften their hearts and keep their ears open, listening to Pastor Craig as he delivers this message this morning. And we say this in your name. Amen.
Thank you, Brad. Just about done with Hebrews here. Lord willing, one more Sunday, and we will have completed the book. But Hebrews chapter 13, I mentioned several weeks ago that actually when we started chapter 13, that it's very much a chapter that takes and applies so much of what we've learned through the entirety of this letter to these Hebrew believers. And it's telling us, it's applying this so that we can take what we've been taught and serve God acceptably with it. Thus far, through chapter 13, we have looked at relationships, right relationships. We've looked at our conduct. We've looked at the things that we should be focused on. And now this morning, we come to a few things that we should continually practice in our lives, continually practice in our Christian walks. These are all things, really, that by nature, sadly, we may not want to do. Sadly, they may be things that we forget to do, neglect to do, or maybe even refuse to do. But the main points of what we're going to look at this morning are fundamentals. These are some fundamentals of the Christian life. Back in 1998, near the beginning of the dot-com boom, as internet companies were going from zero to hero in a matter of months, it was during that time that pets.com launched their internet business. They launched in a big way, literally with hundreds of millions of dollars invested. The company put forth a major ad campaign using their spokesman. Anybody remember who Pets.com's spokesman was? It was a sock puppet dog with button eyes. Is it ringing a bell for anybody? All right, there's a reason why it may not, but let me continue here. A sock puppet dog with button eyes, and they had him on television commercials interviewing people, of course, telling them about Pets.com. He appeared on talk shows, even late night TV to be interviewed. He had his own float in the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade and explaining why an online pet store. His slogan was, "Because pets can't drive." All right. because pets can't drive. They even bought a spot in the 2000 Super Bowl for $1.2 million. But within months, they were gone as quick as they came. Why do you ask? Well, I'll tell you why. They neglected a fundamental. They neglected one huge business fundamental. They neglected one of the most key elements in starting a business. They failed to do market research. They never found out if people actually wanted to buy pet supplies online. And in the year 2000, they didn't, apparently. Okay? And today, it was unprofitable to all. It was just too new. And today, Pets.com goes down along with companies like Edsel. All right? And really, I guess we could even include New Coke in there. As a reminder to every business of how important the fundamentals really are. And really, it is fundamentals that we're being reminded of in the end of this letter here today. We're going to be reminded of a couple of them. You know, sometimes we forget the fundamentals. Sometimes we neglect the fundamentals, and sometimes we flat out reject them. Okay? And then we wonder why things aren't going the way they ought to be going. Well, that's why we're having this reminder this morning. So that we can have a profitable Christian life, the author reminds us really of three fundamental practices of it. And our subject this morning is profitable practices, because they are indeed profitable. And as Brad read, we're going to be in Hebrews chapter 13, looking at verses 15 through 19. These aren't specific. A couple of them are listed as fundamentals, but the third one in particular isn't listed as a fundamental, but the point that he's bringing it up tells us that it's a fundamental, all right? But the first fundamental that is profitable to Christian life is sacrifice. Sacrifice is a fundamental of Christianity, period. It is a fundamental. It is the fundamental of sacrifice that saved us from our sins. God loves us so much that he gave his only begotten Son to die on the cross in our stead, taking the penalty that we deserved for sin. That was a sacrifice. But a sacrifice is also fundamental for us in our Christian life. Those of us who have been saved from sin, it's an expression of our love in return to God for what he has so graciously done for us. Biblical sacrifice, in general, is a willful gift motivated by love. One of history's most popular newspaper columns is Dear Abby. Started in 1956 by Abigail Van Buren. The advice column is written today by her daughter, Jean Phillips. But in one edition, she included a Thanksgiving prayer that her mom actually had in her column many years before. And here's what the prayer says, and this is going to kind of tie in to what we're going to find in verses 15 and 16, okay? But here's the prayer. She said, "O Heavenly Father, we thank thee for food and remember the hungry. We thank thee for health and remember the sick. We thank thee for friends and remember the friendless. We thank thee for freedom and remember the enslaved. May these remembrances stir us to serve, that thy gifts to us may be used for others. Amen." Now, the words of this prayer demonstrate really exactly what we're going to be told in these next two verses. Now, our thanksgiving to God should always be accompanied, really, with thinking and acting on behalf of those in need. Listen to verse 15. He says, "Therefore, By him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But there's more to it than just sacrifice, more to it than just thankfulness. We are to put in action put action behind our gratitude. Verse 16, it says, "But do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased." And in these two verses, we actually find about three different sacrifices that we can now offer to God as our expression of love to him for what he has so graciously done for us. And the first one is a sacrifice of praise. It's actually thanking him for not only what he has done for us, but what he is doing for us right now. A sacrifice in general is the offering of something. Biblically, it is an offering to God as a form of worship, homage, or appeasement. Earlier in this chapter, the author compared the sacrifices of the Old Testament to atone for sin to the sacrifice that Jesus made to pay for it in full. And he says, now that our sins have been fully paid by the sacrifice of Jesus, now that we have trusted in what he has done and received that gift of salvation, he says, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise, giving thanks, really, for Jesus and what he has done. Now, sacrifice for sin is no longer needed because Jesus satisfied that price. And for that, we can continually offer to God thanksgiving and praise. That is the fruit of our lips. No matter what we're going through in this life, good or bad, if we have trusted in Jesus Christ as our payment for sin, we have reason to praise him. We do. Praise him continually. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." The praise of our lips is a sacrifice that we can give to God, and he actually desires it. The next sacrifice mentioned in our passage is the sacrifice of doing good. Look at verse 16 again. It says, "But do not forget or neglect to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased." One commentator, talking about these two verses, he said of this passage, he says, "Lip service should be accompanied by life service." The author of Hebrews says, don't forget this. Don't neglect this. Prior to trusting in the sacrifice of Christ, Isaiah says that all of our works were as filthy rags because they were all tainted by sin. But upon trusting in that cleansing, that soul-cleansing sacrifice of Christ, listen to what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2. He says, "Now we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works." Lip service should always be accompanied by life service. And now doing good is actually a sacrifice, a gift, an offering that we can make to God and is accepted. So we have the sacrifice of praise, we have the sacrifice of doing good, and then we have the sacrifice of sharing. I recently read in an old Daily Bread devotional about a businessman who sold his huge road construction company, and it stunned his employees. But it didn't stun them like you might be thinking. Upon selling it, he divided one-third of the profit among his 550 employees. Some of them received $1 million each because he sold this company for $128 million. And this is what he said of this sharing that he did. He says, it's sharing in the good times. That's all it really is. To him, that this was nothing. This was just what he felt like he wanted to do. He said, people work hard for us. I wanted to go out doing a good thing. I believe that sometimes God doesn't entrust us with money because we want to keep it. And it reminded me of the scripture in 1 Timothy chapter 6, directed toward those who are rich in this present age. Paul said to them, he said, let them do good that they may be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share. It's easy to say, well, if I had $1 million, I'd be happy to share what I have with others. It's easy to say that, but would I? Would I really? This, by the way, includes more than just money. In fact, in our passage, the word money isn't even used. God wants us to share in all that we have been richly blessed with. We might ask ourselves, what riches of time, talent, or treasure am I hoarding today? What has God given me that I am unwilling to share? In whatever ways God blesses us, He longs for us to be joyful and generous as we pass it on. It is a sacrifice, but it's also a fundamental practice that will prove to be very, very profitable to us. How is sacrifice profitable? Well, the end of verse 16 says that these sacrifices please God. They please God. There is nothing more profitable than pleasing our God and Creator. Listen to a passage from James. James chapter 1, verse 25. It says, but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. Sacrifice is a profitable practice. The next profitable practice is submission. Submission is a profitable practice. Now, submission has become a bit of a bad word in our culture today. Say the word submission in connection with a wife to her husband, and the women's right and liberation groups might be all over you. Say the word submission in connection to children, to their parents, and social services may come knocking at your door. But I dare the soldier in boot camp to disobey a sergeant. See what that'll get you. Submission is not a bad word. Submission, really, it's not about inequality at all. On the contrary, submission is actually what creates harmony. Submission is necessary for order. Submission saves lives in battle. Submission is a quality. It is a quality, and sadly a rare quality today. Submission to God is a must. It's a given. It's a fundamental. But to maintain order within the church body, the author also reminds his readers to submit to church leadership. It's a fundamental. Look at verse 17. He says, obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give an account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, that for that would be unprofitable to you. Now, I have to tell you, I have been looking forward to this passage. But not because what you're thinking right now is causing you to laugh. not because I wanted to say, see, God says you're supposed to listen to me. That's not why I was excited about this passage. Rather, this passage actually presents a unique opportunity for me and really the leadership of this fellowship to express our hearts to you. And I think I can speak for the other leaders in our congregation, but I have to tell you that my number one motive, okay, in doing what I do, well, as I'm thinking about this, this is number two. My number one motive in doing what I do is God's glory, okay? My number two motive in doing what I do is your spiritual growth and well-being. I want nothing more than to see you grow in your understanding of how much God loves you, how much God wants to bless you. Now, you might be saying, well, of course you do. The passage also says you're going to be held accountable. But really, I am not held accountable for your growth. What I'm held accountable for is providing nourishment in the Word. My job is to feed you. That's what I'm accountable for. But it's entirely up to you whether you eat or not. And you will be held accountable for that. But I need to tell you that there are few things that bring me as much joy as teaching. There are few things that bring me as much joy as teaching a willing subject. There are few things that bring me as much joy as to see your confidence in, your love toward, and your submission to the Word of God. There are a few things that bring me as much joy as harmony, the harmony that creates within this local church body. And I want you to know that I have heard many church horror stories. Stories of dissension and division. Stories of insubordination, stories of pride and sin and hate within local churches, stories that bring a terrible blemish and ugliness not only upon a local church body, but upon the name of Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you all this because I want you to know that I feel overwhelming joy and unbelievably blessed to be part of the unity of the Spirit that is present here in this fellowship. We have not, by any stretch of the imagination, been issue free, okay? But you have brought me great joy through your submission, your obedience, and especially your hunger toward God's Word. In Third John chapter 1, verse 4, the Apostle John says, he says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. And he's talking not necessarily about his own personal children, but the congregation that he had taught. Now, I know that many of you are my senior, both physically and spiritually. But because of your humble submission, obedience, and hunger for the Word of God that I get to teach you, you make me feel like a proud parent. You really do. You really do. So this passage here in Hebrews, I know I've gone off on a great big tangent here, but this passage here in Hebrews is an opportunity for me to say to you, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for making my ministry such a joy. I've been looking forward to this passage for that express reason to to be able to tell you that. But submission is not a bad word. It's a quality. It is the quality of submission that provides a way for you and I to have not only harmony with God, but harmony with one another. Harmony, it provides harmony within the local church. And our passage actually lists four reasons one should submit to godly leadership. And this is speaking of leadership who indeed have your best interests at heart. They know the Word of God. They teach it accurately, lovingly, and with a desire for those who are listening to grow. The first reason to submit is leaders have a duty. Leadership has a duty. The duty of leadership is to watch out for the safety of your souls. That is the responsibility that God has given leadership within the church. We are in a battle. And they have a duty to accurately and clearly equip you for that battle through the Word of God. They teach it so that you can know the truth. They point out false doctrines so that you will not be deceived and carried away by them. Sometimes they rebuke and discipline to make corrections in one's understanding and practice. The Gospel of John likens them to shepherds because they guide the flock, they feed the flock, they guard and protect the flock. And for that, they will give an account. That is the second reason to submit. Leadership will have to give an account. They have a duty, and they will give an account for that duty one day. The flock should submit to godly leadership because they know that their leaders are doing what they are doing because they will be held accountable for it. Submission, again, is necessary for order. It's necessary for civility toward one another. It's not a matter of inequality at all. It's a matter of harmony. And all a lack of submission does is make things difficult for leadership. It creates disharmony. It doesn't solve any problems. It does not really change the God-given order of things. All a lack of submission does is create grief for the church body, for leadership. But as for submission to godly leadership, thirdly, it will bring them joy. Submission brings joy to leaders. I want you to listen to a couple passages. This is from 2 Corinthians 12:15, where Paul, speaking to the church at Corinth, he says, "I will very gladly spend and be spent for your souls." Wow. John, again, from 3 John says, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." To the church at Thessalonica, Paul said, "For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Is it not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For you are our glory and joy." That is what harmony in the local church will bring to the leadership. And then fourthly, it will bring you gain. Submission to leadership will bring you gain. The end of verse 17 says, "Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you." If a lack of submission to godly leadership will be unprofitable to you, by implication, submission to godly leadership will actually bring you gain. On the battlefield, a soldier's submission to his commanding officer could save his life, the lives of his fellow soldiers. It can prove to be very profitable. In a local church, submission to the leadership will open the door to profitability to not only you, but the entire local church body. How is submission profitable? Well, there are many ways. Many ways that it can bring you gain. But let me just list this. Submission brings joy to leaders and gain to those who obey. For the one, through a lack of submission, who brings grief to his leader, will probably never be considered or looked up to as a leader. But for the one who is submissive to leadership, that one is very likely to be a leader someday. And when that time comes, his example of submission can prove to be very profitable to him. I guess we could boil all this down to one question we might ask ourselves in this regard concerning the profitability of submission. Would I like to try to lead someone like me? Would I like to try to lead someone like me, or would it be a joy or a grief? Sacrifice pleases God. Submission provides harmony. And the last profitable fundamental, last profitable practice is supplication. Supplication. Supplication is prayer. It is asking God. Anybody recognize the name Tip O'Neill? All right, okay. You got to be older than me, I think. No, I recognize, or at least my age, okay? But anyway, he was a congressman, and he's now passed away. But in his first congressional election, he campaigned all over Cambridge, Massachusetts. And he worked hard, but he found out in the course of his campaigning that his next-door neighbor, an elderly woman, said right on the news that she would not vote for him. And realizing the impact of this old lady who's a neighbor, pardon that, old lady. Anyway, she was older than any of you, all right? But realizing the impact of this statement, I feel old too, okay? So anyway, this could be talking about me, an old man. But anyway, let's get back to this, should we? All right. Realizing the impact of this, he went to this woman and realizing how dangerous this could be to his campaign, he went to her personally, said, "Miss Finley, you've known me all of your life. I've shoveled your driveway when it snowed. I mowed your lawn when I was a little kid. I delivered your paper when I was 10 years old. Why aren't you going to vote for me?" "Tommy," she answered, "you've never asked me." That was it. That was it. "You've never asked me." At that point in time, guess what Tip O'Neill did? He asked everybody, "Will you vote for me? Will you vote for me?" In C.S. Lewis's book, The Magician's Nephew, while on a quest, the main characters lament that they have nothing to eat. One of them then wonders why Aslan, who is actually a picture of Jesus or God in the story, he says he wonders why Aslan didn't think to give them any food. The other replies that he probably did think of it, but he likes to be asked. He likes to be asked. God does like it when we ask him for things. He wants us to understand just how dependent we truly are on him. And he wants to bless us with those things that are best for us. In our passage, the author gives his readers this fundamental in a little bit of a request himself. Look at verses 18 and 19. He says, "Pray for us, for we are confident that we have a good conscience in all things, desiring to live honorably. But I especially urge you to do this, that I may be restored to you the sooner." As for the author, he reminds them to pray for him. We are not given the details, but perhaps there were some who were wrongfully accusing the author of Hebrews of living dishonorably. So he asked them to pray for this situation. But he especially desired they pray for him an opportunity to come see them again soon. But supplication, again, this is the one that isn't listed directly as a fundamental, but because it's given, anybody disagree that prayer is not a fundamental of the Christian life? All right, thank you. All right, we're on the same page here. Supplication is a fundamental. It is a fundamental, and it is a very profitable practice. And using these two verses and just applying them now to you and I ask that you pray for me and the leadership of River Valley Bible Church. Pray that we would have a good conscience. Know that every single servant of Jesus is in need of prayer by those they are called to work with. But pray that church leaders would so seek to conduct themselves in a way that they can do what they have been called to do with a good conscience. Church leaders have the same issues as the people they serve. They sin. They have weaknesses. They have limits. They have things about themselves that they aren't even aware of yet. But just like every other believer, they are in need of prayer. That they would not allow those weaknesses to bring blame upon them, blemish upon the fellowship, and worst of all, blemish upon their Savior. Pray that we would have a good conscience. Pray that we would live honorable lives. Satan knows that if he can undermine the leadership of a local church, others will go down with them. Therefore, leadership is a main target of Satan, and he will bring them temptation that is even to a greater degree than others. So pray that our lives would be nothing but honorable. And then thirdly, pray that we would be profitable to you. The author prayed to be restored to them soon, so that he could teach them and encourage them in person. Apparently that had not happened for some time. So I would ask you, being as we get to see each other pretty much every Sunday, every Wednesday, I still want your prayers. I would ask that you, prior to every time that we meet, that you would pray for me and the leadership so that we can be profitable to you. I believe it was the Prince of Preachers, Charles Spurgeon. He was once asked what made his preaching and ministry so effective. He had an explosive ministry going on. It was growing in leaps and bounds. It was huge. And expecting to hear some sort of secret oration technique, he instead responded by saying, "There is a small group that meets in the basement of the church every Sunday morning to pray for me and that Sunday's sermon." Charles Spurgeon, the prince of preachers, perhaps one of the greatest preachers in history, attributed his massively successful ministry to the prayers of his people. It is a fundamental. It is a fundamental. So please pray for me and the leaders here, because supplication produces God-glorifying results. How are all these practices profitable? Well, again, sacrifice pleases God. Submission provides harmony and supplication produces God-glorifying results. These are all fundamental practices that will be very profitable in our Christian life. Just a little over 11 years ago now, I sold my house and my business to follow God's call into the ministry. While in Bible school, we were forced to give up many of the luxuries that we had grown accustomed to. To this day, looking back on it now, I have no idea how we made it financially. We were a family of four living on less than $600 a month. But during our time at school, sitting under the teachers there, we grew spiritually probably more than we ever had before up to that point. As the years went by, we prayed wholeheartedly for God's direction. And Janine and I have counted no less than 16 closed doors that led us here to River Valley Bible Church. It was a scary and very exciting time. We had sacrificed some things. We had submitted to God and those who were teaching us. And I got to stop for a minute and tell you that I'm citing this one instance because not all of them turned out as good. All right? I have messed up in this regard. I've messed up on the fundamentals many times. But I'm telling you this one because this one worked out all right. It worked out really good because I did sacrifice, I did submit, I did pray along with many others who were praying for us. And we have now been here 8 years. In fact, I didn't know this when I was preparing this. This wasn't planned, but we're about on our anniversary, our eight-year anniversary of being here in Mesquite. So I need to tell you, never in all my life have I felt so profitable as I feel right now as a result of these fundamentals. Thank you for your love over the past 8 years. I thank God for this passage that afforded me the opportunity to share that with you this morning. I thank God for His love and these very profitable fundamentals of sacrifice, submission, and supplication. And with that, let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, let me just first ask your forgiveness. I pray that this did not come across as self-glorifying this morning because that's not my intent. But really my intent is to give you the fruit of my lips, praise to you for what you have been done, what you have done for me, what you are doing for this fellowship, Lord. I thank you for it. And I pray that this might be a reminder to us, as it is a reminder, this passage, to those the author was writing to, of these very important fundamentals in our life. A reminder, Lord, that we would indeed not only offer the sacrifice of the praise of our lips, of doing good and sharing, but realistically, the sacrifice of our entire life to you, because that's really what these three things encompass. Lord, I pray that we would be submissive to you in every aspect of our life. Lord, as you even reveal things in our lives that we weren't even aware of, that we hadn't turned over to you as of yet, Lord, that we would do that. And along with that fundamental, I pray that we would, each of us, as we are submissive to you, be submissive to the leaders that are in our lives, because they will bring, be held accountable. It does bring them joy, and it will bring us gain. And Lord, I pray that as we are doing even right now, that supplication, prayer, Lord, would be a fundamental that is part of our lives second by second. Lord, thank you for the opportunity that this passage has presented to me to even pray to those around, or pray that those around me would pray for me and the leadership here. Thank you for the blessings that you give us, the harmony that you create, and the opportunity that we have to please you through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.